Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to La Cantina MX. We're back with episode 286. We finally have finalists for Guardianes Clausura 2021. Cruz Azul going for a novena, and Santos looking to upset them. But aside from that, there's a lot of drama going on. Like always, America getting their hands caught in the cookie jar. Already some off-season transfers involving Puebla. Some structural changes to Atlético, San Luis, and Necaxa. And also some rule changes for next season. This and much, much more. Let's get this going. But before I do anything, let me introduce Joel. Joel, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good, Jaime. I'm doing good, man.
It seems like without failure, there's always something going on behind the scenes, always somebody getting into trouble. And what happened with America, Joel?
Oh, man, they were partying like it's 1999. And I think it's part of what we had them pegged as Liguilla finalists. And I would, you know, we can't say for certainty, but I would say what they were doing, partying with big party with escorts, the full, you know, they went all out, man. Hookers, cocaine, midgets, balloons. And it was blackjack. It was before the match, and so that it's kind of sad, you know, if you're a fan to, because they were like a well-oiled machine, and they sort of like seems very lack of professionalism to do something like that for a big game. But yeah, they got caught. Some, I don't know if it was a player, somebody was recording it, and if you go on Twitter, you could see the video. Kind of graphic, not super graphic, but you know, it's a bunch of naked ladies walking around, some guys getting lap dances that look yeah, they look like it could be something else. But yeah, man, you know, we've seen the story with different teams where for some reason they decide to party and the team ends, you know, during game day, they end up suffering. And I'm not saying this to take anything away from, what was it, Tuzos that beat them? But it's definitely, man, it plays a role, you know?
Yeah, not trying to steal the thunder away from, you know, Cruz Azul and Santos, but I mean, when you got hookers and you got lab dances going on, I mean, I woke up to this, but this is my Twitter feed this morning, you know, it was footage that had leaked from the shenanigans, the debauchery leading up to the Pachuca America quarterfinal. It seems like the players wanted to blow off some steam, ordered some hookers and had a good time. And it seems like it was another player that recorded this. It didn't seem like it was, you know, somebody hiding in the corner like, you know, like a paparazzi or anything. Like, this was internal that leaked out. So, I guess the question is, you know, are they in the wrong for doing this? The league already fined the players 100,000 pesos, Mexican pesos, which is equivalent to like 5,000 US dollars. But, you know, and Chivas were criticized for doing this, maybe not to that extreme, but they were being criticized heavily this season and last season about disciplinary problems and all that.
Trophy's pool party was pretty to that and to that extreme, but it was just him, you know. It wasn't that America was like the whole squad were in on it.
Yeah, but my question is like, okay, like this is not a traditional job where you have a little time sheet and you clock in, you clock out for the night. So my question is, like, at what point can the players actually enjoy and like not be on the clock, or are they just always on? Like, are they just always have to be like good choir boys? Like, when are they able to party and let loose?
Yeah, it's a good question, but Jaime, this was before, I think it was like before the match. So I think,
oh yeah, I know this is before the match. 20, yeah.
24 hours before a game, I think that, you know, players should, and I know some clubs and even national teams are very, you know, they're very like serious about stuff like that, where they'll concentrate the whole team at a hotel just so that they could keep an eye and make sure that the players aren't messing around. So that happens a lot, you know, they won't let them go out. And so I think, I think if you have, especially, and not just the match, you know, Liguilla. So I do think with playoffs, I do feel that you're on the clock.
Yeah. And, it, you know, to put salt on an open wound, you know, they ended up losing the match against Pachuca and, you know, considered a failure. The team that was second best all season couldn't get to semis against an eighth place team. And, you know, they've been disciplined. They've been fined. And kind of ironically or coincidentally, the league has already announced the new structure changes for next season. And guess what was the first thing they said? They said, we're getting rid of the away goal because it's unfair. Because America would have gone through if it wasn't for that stupid away goal. So we're just going to get rid of it. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like America went in and complained. You know, it's like it's like when daddy owns the team and, you know, the kid's not playing and they get mad. He has his berrinche and they're like, all right, we got to change the rules. Yeah, here you go.
Well, you know, the thing with, and I would normally have agreed, but man, I think we've seen America lose. Well, not just America, but Televisa lose some of that power they had. And we saw it clearly with Atlas, you know, how they lost the 3 points on the table. And so that wouldn't have happened if Televisa still had that, you know, that grasps over the league like they once did. Mm. And so I do think that I guess the league, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they presented the case, but I agree with it.
So you like the away goal rule being eliminated?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they do it, but I'd rather have just whoever won the series, you know, rather go to penalties.
Well, unfortunately, they're not even going to do that. You know, it's just going to go, if it goes to a draw, it goes to the team. Higher. Yeah. So, I mean,
I like that too, Jaime, because it rewards, you know, doing good throughout the season.
It does, but it leads to an anticlimactic, you know, anti-football type of strategy. Because, for example, if you're America, you're Cruz Azul, you can literally park the bus now for 180 minutes and go through on a 0-0 draw, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, but that's easier said than done, Jaime. It's not that easy to be like, I'm gonna park the bus and it's gonna work. You know, it's not, you know, I think, but you're right in the sense that they could be more conservative and play more defensive, but it would also force those teams that, you know, the bottom table teams to be more aggressive.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see what the, you know, what the reaction will be after that next season with Liguilla and see how that could favor or unfavor a team. I know for small clubs, it's probably going to be tough, even tougher now to win. You know, you look at like Pachuca going through and, you know, small clubs like that. It's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. But I mean, they already made it in a sense. They've already made it easy for them. I wouldn't say easy, but they've given them enough liberties to be in a position to get into Liguilla and fight for the campeonato, you know. And I think doing stuff like away goals and stuff like that, a lot of times it's like giving them even more, you know, giving them more stuff for them to even it out. And I guess you could say it's what's part of the thing that's made it, makes the league so competitive, like where the smaller teams could take advantage of stuff like this and to compete with the bigger clubs that have deeper squads or better players.
For me, it's like, all right, if you're going to get rid of the away goal rule, that's fine. I understand it. But there's no way you're going to let a team go through with a draw. Like, someone needs to be declared a winner. Like, this is a separate tournament from regular season. That's why it's called the playoffs. You know what I mean? So at this point, everything is thrown out the window. Yeah, the only advantage you'll get from your regular season performance is home field. Apart from that, if the game draws, you guys go to overtime, you guys go to penalties to square this out. Like, I don't like that. I don't like the fact that, like, yeah, you ended in first or second place, and yeah, this team ended in eighth or sixth or whatever, but that's the whole point, is like, if it was, you know, if you guys are so good, if you guys are that superior of a team, then you should be able to do it again. That's the whole point, is like, to be consistent. And I get it, you know, like, there needs to be some sort of advantage for being consistent all season, and there's got to be something there, an incentive to finish higher in the table instead of just sliding into 12th place. But for me, it's like, I just don't like the fact that, like, a team is going through on a draw. Like, I just want it to be settled either in penalties or in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree with that. But at the same time, then I would prefer just Liguilla to be like top four, you know. Maybe, yeah, just top four. I don't. This top eight.
Well, top 12.
Top 12 now. Well, oh man, yeah.
12.
I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm thinking they're eventually go back to eight, but maybe they won't.
I think that they should give the first and second team immediately semifinal, like, pass. Like, you're in the semis. Both of you guys are in the semifinals. And then allow the rest of the teams, 3 through 6, to square out for semis. So it would just be top six.
But don't you leave... You would be leaving that team inactive for, like, 2 weeks.
It would be a week, right? Because you would have week 17, then you'd have like the whatever, the playoff. So they would have a 1 week bye, kind of like they do in football.
Yeah. That's why for me, it's like, look, at the end of the season, the team that did the best, you're the champion. And then the top 12, if they want, they do a second tournament, and then that could be just a whole different other tournament.
Yeah.
Just why not have two? You know, the Mexico Cup format, they haven't been able to get it right. So just please make that the cup. And I think it coming straight out of Liguilla and being that the teams had to qualify through the season, it is, you know, a good chance that they would take it more serious, or fans would embrace it more.
Yeah, I do think, though, that the way Mexico is wired, fans hoping for a long season format, you're better off watching La Liga or EPL, because that's not happening in Mexico.
No, I think that long season format, I think that's like, there's only like five of us that want that. The majority, I think they really like the whole Liguilla and all that stuff.
All right, so we're about 15 minutes in, and we have to talk about this final that nobody really cares about. Cruz Azul.
I care about it.
I'm just kidding.
But you're right. There hasn't been much hype, much noise. I really haven't heard it. Look, anything, you know. I don't even know when the game is, to be honest, because, you know.
Well, for those that do care, Cruz Azul successfully got through Pachuca. However, in that first leg away in Hidalgo, Pachuca was able to keep Cruz Azul on a clean sheet. Unfortunately, they weren't able to score themselves. So I really thought going into the semifinal in El Azteca, I really thought, here we go, la Cruz Azulada, because, you know, had Pachuca scored a goal, Cruz Azul would have had to score two because of the away goal. Unfortunately, Pachuca weren't able to do anything. Cruz Azul get through on a Santiago Jimenez, a.k.a. Chaco Jr., able to get through on his goal. And they're sitting pretty. They're going to have home field advantage. The other game was a lot more entertaining. Santos scoring three goals against Puebla, wasted no time in the first minute. Lalo Aguirre, man. Eduardo Aguirre, remember that name. He's been hot in the playoffs. He's got five goals so far in the playoffs. He's Mexican. He's young. And I look forward to him wearing the Chivas jersey next season. But Santos were able to get through against the Super Camotes. It seems like the Camote power was not enough. And, yeah, it's a Cruz Azul-Santos final. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific time, will be the first leg. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, man, I think you know, for Cruz Azul fans, I think they must be very wary because they've been here before. And I think they must be extremely nervous. But I think Cruz Azul has been just very close, you know, of breaking their, what is it, 17, 20-year curse. They've been so close. And
1997, so we're getting there, man. It's 24 years.
Oh, snap, I said 17. Yeah, 20, damn. So I think they're favorites. I think the betting houses even has them as favorites, and so good luck to them, man. I think, and I said it before, my position. I want clubs like Cruz Azul to do well. I mean, nothing against Santos, but I think Santos has been and Jaime, was it you that shared it or was it Codazo, the article on. It was an article on Santos because they want to buy a team in Europe.
Oh, I didn't know
that. And it was talking about what Grupo Orlegi is doing. And it was like an expose of all the stuff and how many finals they've been. So they're one of the clubs that's been in the most finals in the last, like, whatever years. And you know, right up there with Tigres, you could say. And just how their formula has been working. And I think, you know, Cruz Azul is one of the kind of historic. They didn't really come into the picture till like the 70s, but they're one of the big, you know, one of the grandes. And so I don't want to see them because we've seen some of these clubs that are big. Sometimes they fall through the wayside. I mean, León is one of them where they were one of the old school big teams, and then for a lot of years it got relegated, and then they sort of like no one sees them as that anymore. So I wouldn't like that to happen to Cruz Azul. Just so much history there, and so I'm glad that this new directiva seems to be you know, they seem to be on track, because when they first came in, you know, they came in making noise. They fired Tivoldi. They accused him of, you know, like throwing the game, and they were just, you know, they were just saying some harsh stuff. And I was like, damn, you know, what's going on here? But they seem to have like put some order back into that chaos that was Cruz Azul. And it would be, I think, big, really big for them if they pull this off, you know, and we could see like a new, you know, like a new era for the Machina.
Let's not get too crazy here. I think like this is it, man. This is it. If this was gonna happen, this is the year. I mean, there's no excuses now. You're not playing against like, you know, America. You don't have that boogeyman. It's Santos, you know, and you know, no disrespect to Santos. They've done a really good job since league, you know, since we switched to the short season format. I mean, they've won six titles. So they know how to win it.
Yeah, and it's the whole Liguilla format and knowing how to play it and knowing how to take advantage of some of the stuff we talked about earlier, be it away goal or whatnot, you know, coming into Liguilla on a hot streak and all that stuff. And those are things that level the playing field. But so that's why I think when you have some of the teams that sort of dropped in form, Chivas being one of them, Cruz Azul being like the other, see some of these teams that they used to be like the, you know, the prime time. They used to be the main contenders, and all of a sudden they sort of dropped off. And then that's when you see the Pachucas and the other teams all of a sudden, you know, slide in there and take their spot. So, yeah, when I see like a new era for Cruz Azul is where we kind of been seeing it, like where they've been one of the top teams, like the last 2 years, you could say they've been right there, man, very close to reclaiming that campeonato but I that's what I'm saying. I do think, you know, things, you know, they win it, they go well, they could once again be that team that, you know, that one of the teams to look out for and not so much they sort of turn into that whole joke, the whole Cruz Azuleada, you know, and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm sure they're nervous. And, I mean, they have everything at their disposal. They have, you know, the best team. They have the coach who was the captain of the team when they won their last title in 97. I mean, they have all the tools, everything. They have home field. They're going to have fans in the stadium. I mean, I think for me, is why I think they're going to lose, because they get in their heads. They get in their heads, man. When they have the red carpet, they have all they got to do is just tap it in and, you know, they implode, man.
Well, you know, their last final was against, well, two of their last finals, I think, were against America. And that's just a team that's had their number, and America's not, you know, they're not there, man. It's Santos, and so I think it's the team they match up better against, not their boogeyman. And so I think that's going to help them. You know, I don't think it's, you know.
We have to go back all the way to January 11th of this year. Their only encounter this season. 1-0 victory for Santos in the first jornada. So right now, I mean, this is a completely different, I mean, from January now to May, I mean, it's, you know, these two teams are coming in hot. You got to go back to, let's see, July of last year, Cruz Azul won 2-0. January of last year, Cruz Azul won 3-0. So, I mean, it seems like Cruz Azul has had their number. I mean, but this is a completely different team. I hope that we get to see a fireworks. You know, I don't want to see a boring final. The away goal rule doesn't apply now. So, I mean, hopefully they can put all the carne al asador. And I want to see fireworks, man. I think Santos, the way they're playing football, I think they're gonna try and be aggressive at home, try and get some goals to go inside El Azteca. Because they know it's going to be tough to win in El Azteca. But I hope that we see fireworks, man. I don't want to see this anti-football, parking the bus type of deal from Cruz Azul. Because, I mean, they did that against Pachuca, man. I'm just like, I ain't trying to see that.
I think we might. I mean, I think we might. And I've been saying this, even with the GOATs, at the end of the day, as long as it gets the job done, it's not going to matter. So, and their fans. And what you were saying more in along the lines of just getting to Liguilla. But I think with Cruz Azul, I think the fans, they don't care how, they just, long as they get, they lift they just that, want it. That cup, man. Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Be like,
It's true because no one's going to think about that 10, 20 years from now. No one's going to look at that ninth title and be like, well, they played anti-football. No, they don't care. They're going to talk about, we got the ninth title, you know, it happened. You know, so.
Yeah, and do we have a list? Top of my head, I'm a little, do we have a list of the Liga MX campeones?
What do you mean? Of like titles wise?
Yeah, because I know, I mean, I could tell you the first two.
I know America, obviously, although it should be tied at 12 because the Pro de 85. But
yeah, I'm not gonna... was not a real game. Give me coin on that. You know what? I got receipts. I've presented them here before. I've shown their receipts.
I know after Chivas with 12, is it Toluca with 10?
It might just be, man. And Toluca doesn't get love.
Toluca with 10, and then would it be Cruz Azul with 8? I know León has 8, right? And Tigres might have like 7 or 8 now. Damn.
Yeah, Pumas has 7. I think Tigres. Cruz Azul does have 8. León. See, what I was telling you about León. And it's crazy because both León and Cruz Azul. Are they at 8? Didn't...
Oh, here we go.
For León.
América 13, recently. Chivas 12, Toluca 10. I was right. Cruz Azul with 8 and León with 8.
Yeah, and that's, see, Toluca, man, they crept up and they don't get love. They don't, for whatever reason, they're not seen as a big team and they're third. That's just kind of messed up.
It's because they won all their titles, you know, with Cardoso, man. They did. What a nightmare.
Well, not just because of that, you know, and along the lines of the short season, but even Pumas and can we say Cruz Azul? Maybe not, but yeah, León. But see, like León, when they won a bunch of them way back when,
in the 40s and 50s, yeah.
And people, yeah, and then they fell off, and then people just stopped taking them. So it's one of the things where we've talked about how, like, the Monterrey club, they don't get taken serious as well. And a lot of it is because of memes and jokes and the whole, you know, that they're not, they keep what, they, you know, to call them equipos chicos and whatnot. But if they stay on that trend, then eventually it's like they're going to be.
Oh, 100%.
They could surpass, you know, they could surpass America. And, you know, so I think, and then just saying this with Cruz Azul, where I was saying, how all the desmadre that was going on, they kind of fell off because that should be them on third, you know? It should have been them up there. Instead, like, Toluca crept in and then later on, them. Like, Pachuca. Yep. And yeah. Yeah, so I think they, you know, as long as this directiva starts just being serious, they could you know, put in a fight. And see, a big wake-up call for Chivas, because when you see all of these teams now that are all of a sudden just working better, because, and you know, we see Club de Cuervos, which is going to segue to some of the other news we have, but we see Club de Cuervos and the way how anybody seen that Netflix series, and it's kind of based off a lot of the teams in Liga MX. A lot of those stories are based on actual. A lot of those
have a grain of truth, right?
Yeah, they're based on actual stuff that happened in the league. Of course, they take from different teams, but and that was the case for a lot of years in Liga MX with a lot of these owners. You know, they were just running the club sort of like a hobby. But now you have like these more business minded, like Grupo Sinergia. I'm not getting it right, but the Tigres, the people running Tigres, they're just, you know, and then seeing Orlegi from that article that, you know, how he talked about all the stuff they employ to put Santos in the map. And you know, they're working with Atlas. And And so that, you know, we could start seeing Atlas becoming not being bottom feeder anymore. And Grupo Pachuca working well. So I do think the league's gotten more competitive and it's gotten a bit more difficult. And there's a big reason why we're seeing Chivas struggle so much.
I've got a trivia question for you. What two teams have won all their titles with a short season?
I'm going to say Pachuca and from the teams. Let me see who's won it. Man, is it Toluca? I'm going to go with Toluca.
And it's actually Santos.
Santos, oh, that's right. Ah, he was there, man. He was there. Yeah, Santos, pretty newcomer.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting.
Santos won their first title in 96, and then since then have won five more. So, I mean, they have benefited tremendously from the new short season format, as has Pachuca, and of course, Toluca has won 7 of their 10 titles since 98. So, I mean, there's a lot of these teams benefiting from this format.
Yeah, but not just the format, Jaime, also like the owners that came in and just how they've been more serious of how they work. I mean, look, Chivas for a lot of time, like a long time, how the club was being managed, especially in Vergara's last days. You had Angelica there and...
Oh,
all
God.
The turnover and it's like that was like very unprofessional the way they managed everything. You know, they bring in the Cruyff, you know, the Johan Cruyff and company, and you think they're gonna restructure it, and like what, 6 months later they send them packing. And so it's like just it was a shit show, man. It's a big reason why I always telling fans like just let Pelaez work, man. You might not like it right now, but it's not easy. Some of these teams, they've been working at it a lot longer. A lot of these teams we're talking about, they got at least 10 years with you know, same management, you know, with same management group, where the majority of them didn't get it, you know, right off the bat. They weren't as successful. They didn't get it right.
So you're saying to trust the process.
It's work. It's long and arduous. You know, it's not, and there's just way more teams now. And the what makes it, you know, Chivas is in like an insane difficulty mode. You know, because the other teams can easily just
buy players,
3-4 players. They just go to South America and cherry pick, and they bring in some really good, you know. And then Chivas is really hard. Teams don't want to sell, or they want to sell for double, and it's just harder for them. So, yeah.
Let's talk about some structural changes here. Atlético San Luis is no longer. Seems like Atlético Madrid have decided to part ways with owning the club, and it's actually been acquired by another ownership I can't even say his name. it's going to be... Jeff Lunnau, who is like the ex-Houston Astro, I don't know, executive. And then also... is it... How do you pronounce his name, man?
I'm not seeing it. Let me see. Wait, it's on the...
Carlos Alarraski? I don't know.
Wait, where's the news? I'm at the... Did you paste it on the thing?
Yeah, it's the last. It's the last one.
The last one.
Autoriza venta de la teco. Yeah.
Alarraski. Yeah, it's uncommon. Might be Basque. You know.
And you said that he owns the name Club de Cuervos?
Yes, the Club de Cuervos name. And there was talk a while back of using that gimmick on a Liga MX club. you know. But I think if you do that, you, as my personal opinion, you're kind of killing the club, because that's almost seen as a joke, you know. So to base it off of like a joke, because clubs are tied to the city.
Yeah.
And you're going to like go above that and base it on something fictitious. You don't want to sever that, you know. I mean, if they're still in San Luis, keep the name San Luis. Maybe they're going to call him Cuervos de San Luis, you know. But I don't think you can mess with the colors and all that stuff. Even the logo, you know.
Well, they already did mess with the colors, you know, because when Atletico took over.
Ah, that's right.
They were red and white. But they did still gold. Keep the away jersey was still blue and gold, or blue and I don't know what the, yeah, it's like blue and gold.
Yeah, they might go back to that then. Well, well, the fans don't care, because it was striped as well. It was you know, white and black stripes. But I think, you know, these two guys coming in and same with the man.
You kind of cut out there.
I cut out?
Oh, yeah. You're back now.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, we're seeing some of these groups that are coming in and they sort of have kind of figured it out. I would say just because they're overall more professional than some of the former owners that just kind of, like I said, it was more like a hobby for them. Because these guys are like, they'll hire people to work at the different, you know, they won't just put their sobrino and be like, all right, just figure it out, you know, how hard could it be, or how hire, you know, they'll bring in the right people to manage.
Didn't Chivas have like a doctor in charge at one point? He was like the president.
Yeah, but man, it's hard to tell like just how much influence they had, you know, because just Vergara could veto anything, or it still had to go through him. So who knows, like, if it was just for show and tell, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had, what was that guy's name? He was the guy that helped put Toluca on the map, Lebrija.
Oh, Lebrija was great.
No. It was Lebrija. Why am I thinking Alberto de la Torre? I don't want to confuse. Were they both?
Rafael Lebrija. President?
He was the Toluca, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and so Vergara brings him in, and I'm thinking, okay, it's an older dude. You know, he's probably going to relate. Vergara could learn a thing or two. And Vergara did a bunch of shit without even consulting him.
Sold Chicharito without even letting him know or even being involved.
Yeah, and he said, you know what, we were going to have a Libertadores final. I would have pushed to hold on to him to keep them. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
And so he left. And so, you have someone like Lebrija there who's been successful and that you could learn from, and you don't even care, you know. So how much are they were going to listen to the doctor, who I forget the guy's name, but he would like operate on the players, but it's like they probably never even consulted him. They just had him there, probably signed papers or whatever.
He was just a little puppet.
Yeah, maybe not perfect, but just so it could look nice, you know, who's on the board. Then we got like this PhD and all this other stuff.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the future of San Luis. Obviously, it's a little bit heartbreaking to see a team from Europe sort of pull out. And also, there was really not much commodity between them. It's not like San Luis exported any players to Madrid, and it's not like Madrid, you know, loaned out any players to San Luis. So, I mean, It's a shame, but it is what it is. Another exciting investment group consisting of Mesut Ozil, Eva Longoria, Kate Upton, Verlander, all these big names. They have taken 50% stake of Necaxa. It's official now. We had breaking the news a long time ago, but it's official now that the season's over. So maybe we'll see some interesting signings from Necaxa. Maybe some new money coming in, and maybe the team will start to play better. They were the team that ended up in last place this season. So I mean, I guess the only direction they can go is up, right?
What has that gone through? Because I know they were going to buy them.
Yeah, it's official.
It's official. See, so yeah, I think it's going to be slow for that, you know. But so let's see how long, and if they're, I'm pretty sure they have an idea of like, okay, it might take like 4 years, you know, to get the team off the ground.
I don't even know, like, it was funny because, like, I read something like, oh, like, why are all these, like, random, you know, celebrities and ex-players, like, why are they buying Necaxa out of all teams? And it's like, oh, you didn't know these guys are, like, hardcore fans. They're hardcore Necaxa fans.
No, I think business wise, they're probably seeing something. They might know something, and it's where it's like there might be some opportunity later on. What we're beginning to see is with the TV, it's all changing. You know, Televisa used to have a stronghold, and they pretty much had the biggest contracts, and they had like the majority of the teams. And for a long time, it was, you know, Televisa and then TV Azteca, and they were like, they kind of just ruled over the Liga MX. But now, you know, you have like ESPN and Fox Sports Mexico.
They just
Fox
sold
Sports
it.
Mexico, right?
Grupo Lauman, they bought Fox Sports.
And they have all this like, you know, they have all these clubs.
El Financiero.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to get Chivas on. They might, I don't know. But see, that's all changing the way that, you know, the whole business of the Mexican League. And so it could eventually get to the point where we might see something similar to like the EPL, where the whole league gets sold as a package.
I hope so.
That might eventually happen, and that's why also it's very important with what happens with like a possible Super League with MLS, where it's like, you know, we're calling it league, but it will be more in the along the lines of like the Europa League, you know, the Champions League, I should say, more along the lines of like Champions League. So if something like that was to be a hit, like a Super League with MLS and Mexico teams, where it would just get all this like massive ratings in the US, and that would mean even more money for like the, you know,
I got
for all of these clubs.
Funny
for all of these clubs.
Yeah, funny.
What happened?
Funny you mentioned ratings. Liga MX over the weekend outperformed all the other, not just soccer on TV last week, but even the NHL playoffs. So,
yeah. Are you talking in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Let's specify. Yeah. That's the thing about the Mexican soccer, that it's in two markets, and it's pretty profitable in the U.S. market. And so I think that's, it's looking like it could be something. And I know a lot of fans, I think they need to put some of this rivalry to the side, this whole, maybe not rivalry, but this whole mentality of like MLS sucks or whatever. I'm not saying it doesn't, but like to be so negative and to think that they can't, nothing good can come
out
of it.
It could be a mutual benefit, you know?
Well, I mean, because look like LAFC with Vela, and then Galaxy has Chicharo, you know. But like at one point, Galaxy had Gio and Zlatan. So I mean, if we had a cup, you wouldn't want to see Chivas like playing against Zlatan, you know? Or so I mean, I think they're gonna continue bringing in players of that caliber. You know, eventually they might be viejitos, but possibility they'll land a Messi or a CR7. And yeah, I would like to see the Liga MX taking on some of those guys. I mean, and look at Tigres now with another two French internationals, maybe former internationals, but internationals nonetheless. So you don't need the whole of the MLS to be top tier. It probably just gonna be like four teams, you know, that like Atlanta and Galaxy, LAFC, and I don't know who else.
The maybe best,
Seattle,
yeah,
Sounders, whatever. And
I got a good metaphor for you. Sorry to cut you off, but
yeah.
The Liga MX MLS relationship would be like this fish. It's called the remora. It's also called the sucker fish. It's a fish that literally clings on to a shark, and and it cleans like the shark's like fins and debris, and you know, it's just and the shark is just like, yeah, I guess you can kick it with me, like I'll spare you.
Oh,
but here you go, clinging on to this bigger, you know, host. As Liga MX is got the numbers, man. The numbers don't lie. There is a huge demand for Liga MX in the United States, and the MLS would benefit. Well, the way the MLS would come into play with this is the organization type, you know, part of the structure and the television. They can handle all of that, you know. But give the people what they want, what they actually want to see, which is Liga MX.
Yeah, they do, but I'm saying, you wouldn't want to see a match, like if it was like, you know, like even LAFC versus Chivas, or like America versus like a Galaxy with Chicharito, like you, that wouldn't.
Oh yeah, I would. You. I would. I mean, it's better than seeing, you know, a Chivas and, you know, Veracruz game or San Luis game for sure. I mean, yeah. I encourage the competition. And I think it would help the region as a whole for these, you know, frequency of matches to happen instead of, you know, CONCACAF champions.
Because I do think they're planning on like soccer is going to make like a hard push. The sport is going to make a hard push in the next years in the U.S. where it could potentially land a bunch of new fans. And so, because we're talking about the World Cup, which is going to be, it's going to be also in Canada and Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so then that helps in a bit, because it's sort of like, you know, you kind of see the collaboration there. And then there's some news floating around that the next Copa America might be in the U.S.
Again?
Again, and which they, you know, the Centenario, and it was a huge hit. And so, yeah, they're talking about bringing it back, which they wanted to, because just how much money they made, you know. It was one of the most, probably the most successful, you know, and just the kid alone for CONMEBOL, you know, the tournaments they've been hosting. So I do think... And it's the same thing where I could see where like an eventual like if you were to have this Liga MX MLS Super League, where they could eventually like invite like the Boca Juniors and the top Brazilian teams. And now you're having this cup that is, you know, with a lot of attractive names now. And it's like, why wouldn't they want to play? I, you know, because ultimately you have to pay the bills, and this cup has the potential to make more money than like the Libertadores.
Sounds like you were involved in another idea, the Super League, man. Were you involved in that? It sounds like you're a.
No, it's just because these ideas have been floating around for a long time.
Yeah.
I just keep tabs, Jaime. Yeah. And by keeping tabs, I mean tabs for 10, 20 years, man. a lot of this stuff's been talked about for a long-ass time. I mean, I had an article, which I lost it because internet, you know, a lot of times the internet, if there's like an article and then the database where it was gets,
yeah, it gets archived
now and it gets lost.
Yeah.
But there was talk of bringing, this was before MLS. So around the time that the North American Soccer League had just died, and it's like, and so they had approved to do a second division Mexico team to play in LA. So I think FMF had approved it, but then it got like, I don't know who stepped in, if it was USSF or CONCACAF, and they vetoed it, but they had already on works, and because they wanted to, there was like some promoters that were trying to get LA to be like, to have a franchise and play games here. And so, but I mean, this was like in the early 90s, mid 90s, so we're going, you know, way back. And eventually we kind of did see where you had Chivas USA.
Yeah.
You know, so you had a Mexican club own, and at the same time was of America buying a franchise in Houston. And so that fell apart, you know, they decided against it. And then the guy just didn't want to do that. He's smart enough. He didn't want to do like America USA with a sound that kind of dumb. But there's always been a lot of talk of that stuff. I think it was called the Inter-America Cup. So you have the champion of the, you know, the champion of the CONCACAF, the CONCACAF club champion would play the Libertadores champion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
So, I mean, it didn't get played that many times. I think Pumas won one and America won some of those cups. But so, I mean, a lot of this stuff's been floating around for a long time, you know. Mm. But I think it's becoming, we're getting to that point where it's getting more and more physical. Like even the European Super League, you know, you go back to like the 90s and there was like, but it was called like the G16 or something. So yeah.
Area 51, Project X.
Even the World Cup, I think I told you how they wanted to go to every 2 years. And there was some talk about it recently.
It's picking up steam.
And like I'm saying, if someone heard that, that's not from now. That had been talked about.
Really?
Long as time ago. So, yeah, a lot of these things have just been there and then they resurface. And, you know.
It is funny, not to get too sidetracked, but I had posted on the subreddit, like, hey, you know, they're talking about the 2 year every World Cup and, you know, everybody was really upset about it. But I was like, hey, man, like this is actually would benefit us, Mexico, would benefit Mexico because of the lack of opposition that we have in our region. I mean, CONCACAF is a joke and we rarely get to play against, you know, world class teams. And when we do, we're not used to it, so we end up losing. So, you know, increasing it from every 4 years to every 2 years would only help us, and it would also give more exposure to our young talented players. Obviously, you know, the World Cup would lose its prestige, but I'm not entirely against having a World Cup every 2 years. I would say maybe 2 years is a little bit too aggressive, but every 3 years, why not?
Yeah, well, who knows if it loses, who knows? But what could happen, it could be that players would eventually have to choose between Are you going to be a club player or are you going to be a
country
national team player? Because national team players, I mean, keep in mind, Jaime, it's not just going to be the World Cup and the qualifiers, but like League of Nations and Gold Cup and all these other cups. So you will be playing all these tournaments.
Yeah, it would be a tight squeeze. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be enough to just you would stay there. And I mean, I don't know if even that would be enough to keep some of these guys, because
at the end of the day, what pays more. I mean, that's the reality is at this point, it's who pays more. And if I'm not mistaken, players don't get paid to play for their country, right? Like they don't get a salary.
They don't get a salary, but they get money, but not like.
Yeah, I know in like tournaments they get like bonuses if they, you know, like for example the World Cup, if they qualify they get money, and then if they make it past the group stage they get money, and then how far they go in the tournament they get like a bonus or whatever. So I know there they get compensated, but for other stuff I don't think they do.
No, but if it were to change where it's like, if it like let's say it was every 2 years, how they're saying, so then it's basically you wouldn't have time. You know, I don't think there would be space to do both. And so they would have to pay you, you know, like the federaciones would have to pay the money. But then I think, you know, I don't know how that would work. So it's probably a big reason why they don't do it. Because this way, they don't put the bill. Let the clubs do it.
So while we're on the topic of the World Cup national team, Mexico has announced their 23-player roster that will be participating in the Nations League next week in Denver, Colorado. They're going to play against, I want to say, Costa Rica. And they called up Alfredo Talavera, Nestor Araujo, so far so good. Carlos Salcedo, Edson Alvarez, who became champion with Ajax. Congratulations to him. Jorge Sanchez. Okay. Jonathan Dos Santos. Not sure why. You got Luis Romo doing well. Carlos Charlie Rodriguez. Yep. Henry Martin. We don't really have another choice. Orbelín Pineda. Alan Pulido, gross. Rodolfo Cota, okay. Ochoa, okay. Eric Gutierrez, Hector Moreno, another Miguel Herrera. Hector Herrera. Sorry, they put like their full name, so I get kind of confused. But Ache, who became champion with Atletico Madrid. Chuy Corona, which may or may not go. Tecatito. He might not go because of visa issues. Guardado, you have Arteaga, you have Antuna, the only player from Chivas. Then you have Chaka Rodriguez, Chucky Lozano, and Jesus Gallardo. So what do you think of this list?
It's fine. I don't really make too much of it. You know, it is for the league. It's not exactly like qualifiers, you know. I think a lot of times people they always feel like, okay, this is going to be the World Cup squad. You know, and a lot of times coaches will take advantage of these type of tournaments or games to try out certain players or certain tactics and whatnot.
Yeah, I think for me, my biggest problem is Tata's choices. Some of them are questionable. I understand you want to go with experience in the back. That's fine with Ochoa, Talavera. I don't know if Cota is our best third option. I think there's been some other players that have merited the third spot. I would have liked to see somebody younger, like Santos's goalie is really good, Acevedo. As far as
I don't think you're really gonna see young goalkeepers in the senior nat team unless they really need them, or they're like at the world class level. because just goalkeepers can play well into their 40s.
Yeah.
And the coach is always going to go with experience.
Well, I mean, my whole thought process is you take obviously two veterans, because the goalkeeper spot, that's a spot you don't want to start experimenting with. You want to give it to a goalie that has been there, is trustworthy and reliable. So Talavera, Ochoa, that's fine. But you also want to kind of start, you know, working the younger kids into the senior national side. They're not going to play any minutes. I'm not saying Acevedo should be playing and starting anything, but just to be part of that group and that experience is going to help you in the long run. That's all I'm saying. It's like when Ronaldo got called up to the 94 World Cup, he didn't play a lick of minutes in that World Cup, but just the experience itself really helped him. Come 98, he was ready.
Yeah, there's that, but unless he's like, he wants to see all three of those guys, because he eventually is just going to drop one and do what you're talking about and go Makes with sense. A young one, that could be one reason. You know, it's a lot of times the coaches, they're not going to tell us because,
yeah,
you know, they're not going to talk about some of that stuff or just make the players feel bad or whatnot.
Yeah, and my only other gripe is calling up MLS players. I don't think any player in the MLS deserves a call-up, in my opinion.
Pulley's been on fire. I mean,
if you're going to call up Pulley, call up Chicharo. That's all I'm saying.
But Chicharo just recently, you know, it's like
he met the criteria, but he wasn't chosen. It's like, okay, I mean, I don't understand what the criteria is for calling Pulido over Chicharo. I know Cardoso once called him like the Sergio Aguero of Mexico, but I don't know, man. I don't think Pulido deserves a call-up. And also, I don't believe Jonathan Dos Santos deserves a call-up either. I think we have better midfielders in Mexico that could do that. I mean, there's also Gouveia, who is playing in Belgium, gets no love. He's in Europe, man. He deserves a call-up, man. It's a lot harder to play in Europe than it is to play in LA Galaxy. But yeah, unfortunately, Tecate and Nestor Araujo may or may not be able to go because of lack of visa. So we might see some last-minute changes to that list. But yeah, the winner of this game against Costa Rica will play against the winner of Honduras, Estados Unidos. These matches will be taking place next week. Thursday and Sunday would be the final or the third place match, depending on how Mexico does it. I actually applied for the game, so I haven't heard back yet, but I might be there. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, good luck, Jaime. Hope you hear from them soon. I don't know if they're still doing limited.
Yeah.
You know, limited press and limited, so that, you know, they could pose a problem.
We have some transfer news already. So Puebla looks like they're dissembling the team. They're starting to sell their players. Salvador Reyes will be going to America. And as of today, Santiago Ormeño belongs to Grupo Pachuca. He's going to be playing for León. Wow, that's a great signing.
It is, Leon will be starting. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they have to rejuvenate that squad. They have a couple players already up there in age, and they're starting now with their new coach, and you know, Holan or Argentine guy. So yeah, it's good. Good acquisition for them.
Should have went to Chivas.
he was close to suiting up for Peru. I think they dropped him. They eventually said no. But, you know.
Yeah, he actually got snubbed from the Peruvian list for the Copa America. So that would make him still eligible to play for Chivas because he hasn't decided, you know, what national team he could play for. But, Yeah, León grabs a great signing. We'll have to see if he can recreate that success he had at Puebla. I know that he's going to have way more artillery now, you know, with having Chapo Montes, with having Mena, all the midfield. He's going to a way better club. And I guess Puebla, you know, Puebla are just like, you know what, we're cashing in. We had a great season. Nobody expected us to be in semis. And, you know, it's time to cash in on these players, I guess.
Yeah, and that's where, well, let's see how Puebla is doing. Because, you know, the last two seasons, they've been at least, you know, better than what they're usually at. Usually fighting for bottom feed status. So let's see what they have, you know, if they're going to, maybe they have some surprises, you know.
They'll probably be going to the Big Lots bargain bin and see who can they get from South America. We'll see. There are rumors with Chivas, and it seems like Chivas have sent a formal offer to Pachuca for Eric Aguirre. Very exciting stuff. If we can get him, that would be a huge upgrade. He's a wing back, so he plays left or right. Defensive, and it seems like there's going to be some type of Indian trade there. I'm sure there's going to be some moving pieces from our end. It's not going to be just straight cash. I think there's going to be some players involved, maybe Mayorga or something. So we'll have to wait.
I heard.
What'd you hear?
You know, one of the rumors is that when Chivas bought Guzman.
Oh,
they
Pocho?
Had to send him back.
Uh-huh.
They had to send him back. That Pachuca didn't return the deposit.
Oh, interesting.
And that it was like it was on hold, and so that they might use that as part of the trade.
Okay.
That was one. I mean, it's a rumor. Just take it for what it is. But I mean. I think the fact that I haven't heard Pachuca come out and say anything, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you don't want to be talking about transfers before a final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all I know is on my Chivas wish list, he is definitely one of those players, along with Charlie Rodriguez, which probably will not happen. But Lalo Aguirre from Santos, man, I mean... Maybe this will be a mistake. Maybe he'll end up flopping. But he's a great player. He's young. And, you know, the rumor is that we're probably going to sell Macias. So, I mean, we're going to have to need someone to fill in those boots.
Yeah, let's see if they get that. Pachuca returns that money. It could be like, you could get one player from us. Which, hey, I'm sure they have. I mean, I think Guzman is still, I don't know, would you go after him or would you be like too much problems?
I think that if it was going to happen, it would have happened already. But I think now it's kind of just like a sour note. So I don't think that we'll be able to get Pocho Guzman again. But if we can get Aguirre, that'd be nice. And the other Aguirre from Santos, that would be nice. And then maybe a defender. Maybe we can get the expiring contract on Hector Moreno or maybe Nestor Araujo. Who knows?
Yeah, that was the other talk, which I think a player like that would... Well, those two names, you know, I think Aguirre and Araujo would really bolster the team.
Absolutely. And I believe that's all the agenda we've had for tonight. So going into the final, starting tomorrow, I know you called it out in the beginning of the season that it would be a Cruz Azul, you know, could be a championship for them. Are you going to stick with that or?
Yes, I am. I've been calling it for like 2 years. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years, and unfortunately, since Pelaez arrived, man, that's how much faith I had in him, and he did take him to a final. And then all that other stuff happened. But I feel that they've had the team. They've been putting in the work. They're right there, man. It's I think.
They just got to tap it in.
This is tappy. This is as good as it gets for them.
Well, I know that there's a lot of people trying to buy tickets tomorrow, and they're flying out to La Ciudad de Mexico to watch their team lose in a final. And it's like, you know, boleto a Ciudad de Mexico, you know, $700. Airbnb for 3 nights, $300. Buying a ticket and seeing your team lose in the final, priceless. I'm hoping Santos win, man. I like Santos. I like Santos because they're a young club. They have exciting players. They have probably the best coach of the season. And they play offensive football. So I got to go for Santos. Plus, they only have 6 titles, man. So for me, that's a lot farther away from 12 than Cruz Azul getting the 9th one for, you know. And let's be honest, I just want to see the memes, man. I just want to see the memes. I want to see. I just want to see it, bro. I want to be entertained. That's all I ask. I'll be okay. I'll be happy. You know what? If Cruz Azul wins, fine. But I just want to be entertained. I hope it's an entertaining final. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might not be. But I'm at the opposite of you. I just want to see the return of La Máquina. And I think just for what I feel would mean to the league, you know, just to have these big teams up again.
Oh, I know Cruz Azul fans are not going to be sleeping. I know that they're going to be nervous. And I know that at the second sign of like disaster, like a brewing, I just know shit's going to hit the fan. Like if Santos go up 3-0 tomorrow, I already know, man. People are going to start saying, oh, I knew it. This is a curse. And, you know, I just know that any slight moment of panic, like, it could get ugly real fast for Cruz Azul. That's all I know. And it happened against Toluca. They were getting very close. It almost happened against Pachuca. I mean, they've sort of, I don't know, man. They've had luck on their side. So if it was going to happen, this is the year. This is the year. This is their chance. There's no excuses. They have everything in their favor. They're closing at home. They're the favorited team. They have the better squad. I mean, this is it. You know, all they got to do is tap it in. All they got to do is get the job done. So we'll have to wait and see. Do you have any closing thoughts before we sign off for tonight?
Just suerte to the Máquina, to the fans. I believe in you.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone that will be listening to this podcast as soon as it goes up. Looks like we didn't have much action on YouTube, but just know, guys, we're back on YouTube live. We broadcast the episode live so you guys can chat in. Every now and then on Twitter, we'll open up the conversation to the listeners. So make sure to follow us on Twitter and make sure to let us know who you guys got in the final. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.